Greetings, guys. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Give people just a second to show up. Looks like we've got some people in the chat room already. Hopefully you guys can hear me loud and clear. Maybe someone can comment and let me know they can hear me. All right, loud and clear. Sweet. I can see your guys' comments now. So first off, I guess just thank you guys for tuning in here. The first time I've ever done anything like this on this channel. So thanks so much for tuning in. I'm going to be definitely looking at your guys' chat questions. That's basically, wow, there we go. Awesome. A lot of you guys chiming in. It's awesome to see. It's coming in fast and hot in the chat room here. So I'm just a few days post Barkley here and wanted to check in with all of you, give you guys a chance to ask me some questions and give you guys some answers about how this year's went. I think a lot of you have probably seen the video that I put out. I haven't written any sort of race report yet, but you get a rough idea for that experience. I also want to just give a huge shout out to everyone who subscribes to this channel. We're closing in on 25,000 subscribers, which is really awesome. Super cool to see that. So fire away. Feel free to interact in the chat room. Feel free to ask me anything you guys want to. I don't really have anyone else to help moderate this, so it's just going to be me talking about. So a quick background I can go over real quick. This was my fourth attempt at the Barkley Marathons, as I think a lot of you guys know. My first attempt was in 2014, and I was able to complete a fun run in just under the 40-hour cutoff. The second year I went back, I completed a fun run in, I think, about 33, was able to get on to loop 4 and completed the loop, but way over the cutoff, slept out in the woods. I skipped the 2016 edition, and then I've been back last year and this year. Last year, I was only able to complete 2 laps and got to book 9 on loop 3. And then this year was my worst performance so far, 1 official loop, but 2 over the cutoff. So thank you guys so much. So Garrett Soman, if it wasn't for the rain, how would things have gone? I think it would have been a lot different. We had a really ideal start time. So the race started around 9:33 in the morning. So we basically had an entire first loop in the day. And not only was it raining some on loop 1, but when I arrived to the park, there was a ton of snow on the ground. And a lot of that was melting off. So the ground was already saturated with moisture. So I think that probably didn't help things at all. And then when it did start raining, it gets a lot harder and you expend a lot more energy just trying to make your way around the course. But who knows? I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into this whole type of thing. So let's see here. Trying to keep track of all the questions here. How were the new shoes during the Barkley? So I wore the new Ultra Pros and those worked out really well, I thought. In that kind of mud, no matter what shoe you're going to wear, you're going to be slipping around, I think. But mine seemed to grip pretty well and I was using poles, so the combination was pretty good. Someone commented about my eyes. My contacts have just been acting up, I think, since the race. So if they look really red, they are. I just took one of my contacts out. I also did get I might have had a briar that hit my eye when I was out there, and it was like really red on the side of the eye. So I apologize if I'm squinting. I also have a bunch of lights here in the room to try and light things up a little bit better. Let's see out here. Common says, congrats on your video, getting a lot of coverage, by the way. Really cool. I think it's awesome as well. There's just something about the Barkley effect. I think that people are kind of obsessed with the race. I've been obsessed with it since 2006, probably, since I first read about it. and I don't blame you. Garrett Soman asked, did you go out too fast? I think I might have gone out a little bit too fast. I really tried to stick with the lead pack. So I was trying to stay with Gary and with Guillaume and some of the other guys. And it's possible I went out a little too hard. The first two downhills were very aggressive, in my opinion. And my quads were sore almost right away. So it's almost like if you imagine running an 800-meter race all out and then trying to go run a marathon after that. My legs were like twitching, and on some of the downhills where I was fully extending my knee, I was like, I had to like, my leg was just totally cramping up. So, but I was taking electrolyte pills every couple hours, which is a lot for me. So I don't know that it was that. It was just, I think, the extreme stress and speed. It's very possible I went out a little bit too hard. Probably could have backed off the pace a little bit early on. Reed asks, if you knew about the storm in advance, is there anything? Oh, wow. Thank you for the, looks like we got a chat donation. That's awesome. Very cool. If you knew about the storm in advance, is there anything you could have done differently that you would have led to loop fives? I don't think so. I mean, we did know there was rain coming and big storms. I was prepared for the most part, running wise, but I don't know. The amount of effort it takes to deal with that was just too much, I think. So Chris Prowse, thank you so much. Got to buy you a drink for sharing so much awesome content with us. Much respect. Thank you, Chris Prowse. By the way, Chris has an amazing YouTube channel as well. If you guys go check out the channel over there, really awesome adventure type videos, really high quality stuff. So it's really awesome. So many questions. I'm going to see if I can keep up with these guys. I'm just trying to make my way down. Jam, do you plan on going back in 2019? Eric Clark. Yes, as long as I get into the race, I definitely plan to return in 2019. I've gotten in every year. I've applied for the last 5 years, but I don't want to take anything for granted. You never know. There's a lot of strong people out there and the spots are limited. So I'm not going to assume, but, I'm hoping that I get another shot in 2019. Ed Chowderheads, do you think the course Laz created this year has made it impossible to sleep and still finish? I think it's getting harder and harder. He did add what he says, a new section of downhill. And of course, that means there's uphill as well. And it definitely added probably easily 10 to 15 minutes per lap. You could see what the other competitors say. I think Gary just posted his race report, so it's very possible that he would agree with that. It was a pretty significant addition. I mean, some other sections also changed and maybe were slightly faster. So I don't know. I think the margin for sleeping is less and less right now. Will Burress, what happened with the Barkley Million project? Hashtag Barkley Million. I started that project kind of late last year. So I was trying to play catch up and it was just too much of an overwhelming project. I also just ran into a period of, difficulty with motivation and training into the fall as we ramped up with work stuff, with event management. So, you know, I took the last 3 months of the year off basically, and I don't think I can do that. If I want to go after five loops, seriously, you can't take that amount of time off, you know, 6 months out from the race. So John Pett asks, how bad was the weather? Really bad? I would say it was really bad. It wasn't too bad during loop one during the day. And I thought we might have gotten through the worst of it. But heading back out on loop two, there was a thunderstorm that moved through. And I know that I talked to some people who live in Knoxville and they saw it come over the radar and they said that was pretty unbelievable what they were seeing come through. It was dumping buckets of rain on me, completely saturating us. The streams were running everywhere. It's the highest I've ever seen the rivers out there. John Kelly said it was the worst he's ever seen it. And he grew up out there. And the fog at night is just debilitating. So, Let's see. Brian Sands, when did you meet up with Amelia on the second loop, or did you run with them on loop one as well? I met up with them on loop two, and it was near book three, kind of near Indian Knob is the name of the place. And I holed up under an overhang for a while to stay out of the rain. I got confused up there for a bit, and I couldn't find the book. I was going through these big capstones, and I just couldn't locate it. I was losing body temperature, and I just needed to get out of the rain for a while. Once I linked up with them, I stayed with them to the end. So Caleb Gentry, who all did you team up with? So on loop one, I was with the lead pack until over halfway through. So it was Gary, is it Ali, Guillaume, myself, a couple French guys were like back and forth with us a bit. We didn't particularly run with them much, but they were Benoit, like the founder of Raylight, was there. And yeah, so that was pretty much who I teamed up with there. And then at the end, I teamed up with Maggie Guterl, Amelia Boone, John Burton, and Ian Keith. Oh, got another super chat donation here. Greatly enjoyed the videos. Your videos have inspired me to start wanting to try my hand at ultras. Eric Clark, thank you so much for that. Let's see, I'm scrolling back up to your guys' questions. How hard is it mentally to be so ready this year and to have such a letdown? I mean, I understand that this race is, for me, a multi-year project. I'm not let down too hard. I was just faced with the reality of the situation out there. And I mean, I've come to terms with it. I love the race so much. I'm going to keep getting after it. And I'm going to keep going until I finish this thing. And it took Andrew Thompson 9 times. I really don't want to break that record. I mean, I'm prepared to, I guess, but I'd love to finish and give others a chance to get after it. So yeah, we'll see. But I want to try and not miss a year. I think that would be harder with changes and everything. Matthew Koenig, appreciate your content so much. I'm training for my first marathon because of your videos. Wanted to say thank you and ask Broken Collarbone. Thank you, Matthew Koenig, for that. Ian Keith apparently broke his collarbone out there, I think near book two. That was right before they linked up with me. And that guy is an absolute machine. He's won some amazing races and he's tough as nails. He was so tough on that second loop too. He would fall and you would just hear his agonizing scream out there. And yeah, it was pretty wild. I haven't heard like the final diagnosis, but he's convinced he broke his collarbone and he says it's his 5th time that he's doing it. So let's see. Will you ever release Steep Life 38 Ronda Del Sims? Thanks, Eric. At some point, I hope to release that. If you guys know, I took some footage of Ronda Del Sims. I just haven't gotten around to that one. I'll have to see about that. At some point, I would like to release it. Jamie Dugan, after 4 Barkley marathons, have you had a loop where you were in a flow state, found every book, or has that every lap been super tough? Great question. I have felt in a flow state out there before. So, I mean, the very first year, we pushed so hard to finish that fun run. I was with John Figueresi, I was with Alan Abbs, and we were right on the edge of not making the 40-hour cutoff. So we had to just push as hard as possible. And I definitely felt a state of flow there. Like I was going outside my body, pretty incredible. That also happened at the end of my fun run the next year, the second year when I was with John Kelly. And he had kind of been having a low spot out there about halfway through the loop. We were slowing down and I knew I had to leave him. Like I had to go. And not necessarily leave him, but I had to go faster. And I just turned on the jets and he hung on all the way till the last book. And then I kind of smoked him back into camp. And then last year, I even had a really good run on loop two in the reverse direction in the day. I just nailed every book like 5 or 6 in a row all afternoon till it got dark. And, but I didn't necessarily feel that this year. normally that would happen later in a race, and I just didn't get later in this race. By loop two, I was already on the outs, so that was unfortunate. Anik M asked about how did Ian Keith, the Irish runner, break his collarbone. I think it was a fall near book two on the second loop. I don't know exactly. Brian Sutton, did you have a crew? I did. So Mike Dobies and Keith Dunn were my crew. So Keith, as you know, was tweeting out most of the race. And Mike Dobies is a multiple time fun run finisher out there. He helps. He doesn't run the race anymore, but he's been helping a lot of people over the years. He crews people at ultras all over throughout the year. So I felt in very good hands with those guys. So I'm definitely going to be using a crew in the future. Ramon Ramirez, would you have crossed the tunnel if it was just you? Great question. Probably would have, yes. I would have checked the water levels for sure. But it was definitely nice to have a group out there, most definitely. Monica D, has it ever been sunny and pleasant at any of the Barclays? Yeah, and actually it can get hot out there, at least relatively hot for some people, you know, clear in 75 with sometimes some of those power line cuts, it can be pretty hot. And I mean, even our second day, our second loop in the afternoon was quite pleasant and the sun came out and we were shedding layers. So, let's see here. Victor Lukashek, Jamil, did you ask Laz to film your loops? So, the whole reason I even carried, a camera at all was because CNN was doing some sort of a TV film project, and they asked for volunteers to carry cameras out on course. So I was one person. I figured I'd volunteer since I had some experience. I know that there was a number of Virgin runners that carried GoPros as well. I don't think any other veterans did. Probably the smart thing to do, but I don't think it slowed me down or hurt my race really at all. I wore the chest mount for loop one. So I just kind of clicked the button randomly and then clicked it back off. And if you watch the video, there's big gaps where sometimes I get a page and then like the next time I film is when I get a page because I'm focusing on the race. I'm not worrying about filming. And then loop two, I just didn't even film at all until I linked up with those other people and we had kind of gotten through some stuff. So I don't even know if I would have filmed anything if I hadn't slowed down and linked up with them because it was always of secondary importance. If I needed to focus on my race, I would just not film anything. Kevin Canaday asks, is the Barclay Marathon's emergency clicker functional or a Laz mindfuck? So when when we all checked in this year, Laz gave us all it was like a metal clicker. Of course, the motto and on the bibs this year was help is not coming. So he gave us an emergency clicker on a lanyard and it was basically a little red button and it clicks. And that's all it does. I don't know. Mike Bisbee, how much of the race is navigating with a map and compass compared to recognizing the terrain? Did you train your navigation skills? So if you come to learn the course, and I've come to learn it fairly well, having completed quite a few loops now, there are some changes every year, and you never know. It might be a minor change, or he could significantly change the course. We just have no idea until the night before. This year was a few minor changes, and I navigated the whole first loop without even pulling out my map. I don't even think I pulled out a compass in order to help me just because I know the course so well, and especially in the daylight. Now that changes in the nighttime and with fog, becomes much more difficult, exponentially more difficult. And areas where you know, like the back of your hand, can become very confusing very quickly when you can only see from here to your computer screen. Brian K asks, any equipment failures while you were out there? Let's see. I know I saw Gary break a pole on loop one. I had actually a little headlamp issue, not necessarily a failure, but when you have your headlamp up here on your head and it's foggy out, it just reflects everything right back at you. And so I took my headlamp off and had it in my hand down low so I could see it a little bit better, like under the fog. And I was running along, going through some brush, and I think I like grabbed a tree, and all of a sudden my light went out and a battery had popped out somewhere. So I spent the next 10 minutes like searching around for this lost battery, and eventually just had to give up on it because I was wasting too much time. So a little snafu there, which was unfortunate. So I got to figure a lighting solution in the fog would be something good to work on for next time I get out there. Well, someone comments, Rosa, both of Gary's main headlamps failed. Was a user error. Okay. I didn't hear about that. I'll have to read his report maybe. In your opinion, this is from Cameron Bitzer. In your opinion, if you're going for a win at the Barclay, do you think it's smarter to team up or try and lose people and get out alone in light of finding the books? It seems like the team approach, teaming up with people that are of equal strength to you or similar in nature, seems to be the best way to go. I think a lot of people team up, and as long as they can, until they're forced to split up. So I think that's probably the smarter way to go. I know that it was helpful early on to have people around. Also, it just kind of makes the time go quicker as well. But going out alone, you're eventually going to have to do that. So there's also some strength and benefit, I think, to going it alone and to learning the course on your own as well. So it's really kind of a mix of that. Or also knowing when to separate with people when the time is right, I guess. Let's see here. Were the Briars as bad as other years? From Rich Ball. I'd say they're like equally as bad as any other years. They had cut down the briars on Rat Jaw very recently, so they're still there and lying on the ground, but they're not like all the way up as they are previously before they cut them. Les Abbott, who do you think would be the top contenders in ultra running to become the first female finisher? Great question. I honestly think some of the females that were there this year could be contenders. I think their performances were definitely cut a bit short because of the conditions. But that was indicative of the whole field this year. So, I mean, Amelia Boone, Maggie Guterl, I'd like to see Darcy give it a try. I'd like to see Megan Hicks try. Courtney DeWalter, I would love to see her take a crack at it. I don't know if that's something she wants to do. Rena Peterson, thank you so much for doing a super chat. Been enjoying your video so much. Thank you very much. Let's see. Do you think training in Arizona is a detriment because it is hard to replicate weather and woods you face in Tennessee? I do think there is a challenge to that. I'm training on a lot of really rocky terrain. Obviously, it's less chance of bad weather. And I think I could do better at seeking out training in bad weather. I can also head north a little bit out of town and get in some more conditions that would be like Tennessee, like in the forest with more soil and mud. Even in the desert, we don't get a lot of mud, even if it rains. So it's a little bit different terrain, most definitely. Cameron Bitzer, are you planning on doing the same training next year for the Barclay, or are you planning on changing anything? I would change some things. I would try and extend. I trained for about 10 weeks this year. I would try and extend that to add a few months before that of at least base building and just consistently higher vertical so that when I get to my peak weeks, it's less taxing. I think I would also search out some days where I do much steeper terrain. I did a lot of my training at 1,000 feet per mile or 1,200 feet per mile, but there's stuff out there that's 1,600 to 2,000 feet per mile of steepness. So, I think I would definitely want to train more for sure. Let's see. There's some other questions, I think, down here about the CNN project. Let me see if I can try and find where you guys are talking about that. Make me understand the spirit of Barkley. How can we preserve the mystique of Barkley when we have footage published on YouTube? I guess going back to the whole filming, I had permission to carry a camera out there. I didn't even know cameras were allowed out there, honestly. I thought that was not allowed. But Laz encouraged people to carry the GoPros and to help the CNN team. So I deferred to that and carried it with me. I also asked him, is there anywhere you don't want me filming? Like, absolutely not. And then additionally, before I published or showed anyone the footage, I sent him the finished film that I put together, and he approved it for publication. So at the end of the day, I did get permission from him to post it. And I tried when I was editing it, and even when I was filming, to show a little bit of a taste of what it's like out there without really giving away, like, you can't really get a sense of, like, the whole loop or, like, directionally where we were. Like, I think you would have to be a trained Barkley veteran to really understand and even pinpoint specific clips here and there. But I don't know, let me know what you guys thought, if you could piece it together, but I don't think you're really able to do that too well from the footage. So it's a balance. I think there's still some mystique. If that was ruined for some of you, I'm sorry. But that's what I've got for you on that. Jamie Dugan, have you ever later read a book you discovered during a Barkley loop? I haven't yet done that, but I might check out the 6 Seconds book, even though Laz says it wasn't very good. Laz did say he reads every book. So that's pretty funny. Randy Cufaro, any chance you're going to make these live chats a weekly event? Maybe. I was thinking about doing this for quite a while now, and we might do more of them. If you guys enjoy them and like them, I think it's a really fun way to interact, and I like the live Q&A a lot. So if we have interesting topics to go over, I think I'd like to do that, and as long as people are into it. Nicholas Vinicor, how did you find out about the Barkley? I don't quite remember. I remember stumbling upon a website about the Barkley, talking, and there was like a poem on there, and it said something to the effect of, if you are, like, something about 2 miles an hour, all it takes is 2 miles an hour to finish. I don't care how steep the train, I don't care how bad the weather, I can do 2 miles per hour to become a Barkley finisher. And that, like, stuck with me, because no one could finish it, of course. And the second piece of that is, I attended the Hard Rock, Camp Hard Rock in 2007. I wasn't in the race, I hadn't even done a 100-miler yet, but I met a lot of the people that did the Barkley, and a lot of people that were, there are also a lot of people that go to Hard Rock. And I was hanging around with these folks and in a room, and they're telling Barkley stories. And I'm the only one in the room who hadn't been. And I just kind of knew that someday I was going to be there. And it took, 7 years from that point to actually show up and feel like I was prepared enough to give it a swing. Someone asks, did you rent a U-Haul this year? What was your camp like? I rented a U-Haul van again this year, like I have the last couple of years. There was actually a lot of people doing that, and a lot of RVs this year. My camp was pretty simple. I just set up inside the van, a sleeping pad, a couple sleeping bags, and that's about it. So Rich Ball asked, were you aware of John Kelly at his random checkpoints? I did see John out there 3 times. And so I was aware of him, I guess. I didn't know it was going to be him. We knew there was going to be some random checkpoints. We just didn't know who or where. Will Barres asked, what's your next big race? So I got an invite to do a race in China on May 12th. And so I'm going to be doing that. It's called the Ultra Dragon 65K, and it's in Yunnan province in a town called Lijiang. And I have to thank the organizers of that race for bringing me out there Really, really excited about it. It goes up to 14,600 feet, which I think is about 4,400 meters. And there's about that much climb in the event as well. So I'm pretty stoked about that. Jesse Luna says, it was great you captured Gary's reaction to the 6 seconds book. I agree. I was shocked that I had the camera on right then and caught that. That was definitely a gem of that. Jamie Dugan says, a weekly event. It's 3 a.m. here. I am in. That's some dedication. Thank you. Eric Keenley, how will your training for Tahoe vary from your traditional 100-mile training? I'm still figuring that out. I want to run a lot because I know that that's a runnable course. I want to put in high mileage weeks, so like 100-mile weeks, hopefully this summer in like June and July, if possible. And I might do a 100-miler as a training run sometime in July as well. See, I kind of missed some questions earlier on. I'm going to see if I can grab some of those. Joey Pruitt, do you think more training in cold, damp conditions would be beneficial? I think it wouldn't hurt. I think I'm used to doing that just because I've done a lot of that over the years. I don't know if I specifically need to. I think actually one thing about that is my feet. I think soaking my feet and doing training runs even here in the desert would be helpful because your feet are just saturated out there so often that I think it would help to figure out, do I need to apply something on my feet or are they good to go? Or maybe it would even toughen them up in some way. So yeah. Paul asks, who would you like to see attempt their first Barkley next year? I would love to see Courtney DeWalter line up next year. And also Andy Pearson. That would be awesome. Love to see those two guys. Stephen Crawford, I'm curious to hear about how you linked up with the other four on Loop 2. How did that happen and what was it like? Also, it sounds like you turned into a tour guide for the group. So I guess the whole story for my Loop 2, I'll just lay it out there. It all started with a little bit of a mishap. I grabbed my bigger headlamp. I had my smaller headlamp and extra batteries for my smaller headlamp already in my pack. I grabbed a flashlight and I had a baggie with 4 extra batteries from a big headlamp and an extra battery for my flashlight. And I forgot that bag of batteries. So I headed out. I didn't realize this until I was like several miles into the loop. And so I basically have one set of batteries for my big headlamp, for my flashlight, and then I have a backup for my small. And I figured, I didn't know exactly how long that would give me in the cold weather, but I was thinking, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make this whole loop in the dark. Like, I just don't know if it's possible. Because we have like 11 hours of darkness. So when I did become dark, I tried to use a little bit of a dimmer setting. You can't really too much because it's hard to see. And especially when it got foggy, I just had to go on full beam. So when I was going up to, and I also had the incident of losing the battery out of one of my headlamps. So that made it even more stressful. As I was climbing up to loop to book 3, that's when it really started dumping on me. And it was just torrential downpour. I was completely soaked. Fog was rolling in. I was navigating my way up and I found like these capstones. And like, if you don't hit the right one, there's a bunch of them in a row. So you kind of have to make your way to the next one. And I just, because you can't see very well, it gets pretty difficult and it can be confusing. So I started making my way down, up and down these big capstones. They're like the size of like a mansion, these big rocks up there. And there's all these different ways to go up and down them. And sometimes you can't even tell if you're below them or on top of them, on the other side of them. At some point I thought I was going north and I looked at my compass and I was going south. Now I'm no longer climbing and keeping myself warm, so it's getting colder. So at some point I decided, with the fact that my lights might be going out at some point and it's raining really hard, like, I need to survive, number one. It's like a survival situation at this point. So I crawl under a rock overhang to get out of the rain for a while. And if it lets up, I'll get going again. So that might have been a couple hours, honestly, that I was up there on that in that area. Once the rain did let up, I started searching again. And within a few minutes of me starting that search again, I look down and I see lights coming up out of the fog. And that was that group of four. So they were already together, working together. They had linked up on their loop. And once they got up, I joined them. And they didn't even, I mean, they were all first timers, but they were having trouble finding the book as well. So between the five of us, I think it still took us at least 30 minutes or more to find the book. And then at that point, I had kind of wasted so much time and I was already so beat up anyways, that I stuck with that group. And, kind of once I realized that my, like, I wasn't even going to make the time cutoff, I decided to just stick with them and, see if I could help them out. So I at some point I did kind of turn into a tour guide and I figured, you know, maybe pay it forward, especially, I mean, for all of them, but the women as well, that give them a little bit of some insight on the course and to see what it was like out there. Because I know I've been helped by people in the past as well out there. And I think it also helped me to understand the course a little bit better, too, if I'm trying to teach it to someone. Let's see here. What's your fastest loop ever? That's a great question. I think I did maybe a low 8 hour 1 year. I'd have to go back and look it up. I don't have that information right on hand, but it's all at, I think, Matt Mahoney's website. One more mile asked, participants tried to be quiet and Keith wasn't sharing much information about the race and runners this year. Why? Specifically after seeing how much media was there. I think it is to kind of keep the who's supposed to be there, kind of keep it quieter. Just respecting the race a little bit. I mean, I was vocal about, you just don't know who's in the race either. They don't publish the entrance list. So it's kind of up to each entrant to decide if they want to share that information or not. And I think some people don't want the extra pressure. You know, if Amelia Boone had gone around ahead of time announcing she's doing the race, you know, she'd probably be bombarded with media and just not wanting that. So, let's see. I'm going to jump back down to the comments below, guys. I'm trying to get some up there as well. Someone says, Courtney is 100% running next year. Ed Chowderheads. what toll did the race take physically and what are you doing for recovery from that guy? So, my feet were pounded really bad after this year's race. They were swollen the day after a lot. You know, I couldn't see the tendons on the top of my foot. That's since gone down most of the way. The thing that I don't have this year is what I call Gary refers to it as Barkley toe. It's where your toes go completely numb. I've had that lasting 4 or 5 weeks in the past, and mine are not at all numb this year. They just have no feeling in them from the pounding and I think the nerve damage. So I guess I'm escaping some of the really bad feelings. My right knee is a bit sore. I think I hyperextended it a little bit on loop one. Recovery, I'm just taking days off and letting my body, you know, kind of dictate when I get back out there for a run. I did one run earlier this week and it felt eh. So I'll just let it, let that come back when it needs to. Let's see. Is there any way of keeping your feet dry, special socks or shoes? If you know of anything, let me know. I don't do anything really special. I just wear my normal shoes and socks, but I also didn't get a single blister and I don't have a lot of issues with blisters normally. So I guess I'm pretty lucky, but some people will coat their feet with different products to try and help. Someone would suggest a Gore-Tex shoe. I just don't have any of those and I haven't really used them, so I don't know. Reed Icolus, do you think that this race will keep Laz a smoker for life? I'm a recovering nicotine addict and would like to see him quit. Maybe a bowl instead. He used to run 100s, right? I don't know. I think Yeah, he definitely still smokes, but he's also still runs. He's actually doing a transcontinental run this year, starting May 10th. So I don't quite understand it. Maybe someone out there has an answer, but I don't know. So Alejandro Terrazas, have you ever gone to Frozen Head and run loops for training? I personally have not. I know a lot of people will go out there in advance to see different trails. I've only been there the four times I've been there for the race, and I've done almost nothing outside of actual loops on the race course. So I haven't really done much training. I just don't have a lot of extra time for that currently. Eric Keenley, any advice for someone trying to take out your Cruel Jewel 56 miler time? That's a tough race. My advice would be to get a lot of vert in for sure. Lots and lots of vert. Let's see. John Burns, 96-2000. Thanks for your inspiring videos. With regards to your sequential footage of the course, do you think you have an unfair advantage for having it for your reference for future Barkley? That is something that I did think about for... I did think about that a little bit. I do think it's actually a great question, because I actually don't know that I should even look at that footage ever again, other than for having it in the loop. I don't have like huge pieces of it. I have just little clips. So, I mean, if you're able to film huge swaths of that course, I think it could be of an advantage. So I may just not even look at it again. It's a great question. I think he'll probably at some point ban cameras probably entirely on the course. Let's see here. What types of food did you eat during the race from Andrew Simon? So I had, I carried a mashed potato burrito and a peanut butter sandwich on each loop as my real food. And then I had a bunch of other types of like more normal endurance foods. So some trail mix, I had some Clif bars, some other trail mix bars. I had Goo Chomps and I had some gels, but I didn't really eat any gels. I had some gummy snacks. That was mainly the food I was eating. In between the loop, I had some butternut squash soup. I had some polenta, and I had, I think it was like a vegan cheese and meat sandwich. It's just what I had. Let's see here. Do you post the running data onto any site after, or you're not allowed to do so? That's from Scott Flatlip. So you can't wear a GPS watch, so there's not really any data to post. I did make a post on Strava that I ran 40 miles in 31 hours. That's about all I know. And that's just an estimate of the distance. So, but yeah, you're not allowed, you can't wear, this is actually the watch that I wore right here. They gave us this watch at the start, even has like, he like removed the reset button because it was set on Barkley time. So when this says 13:11, that's 13 hours, 11 minutes into the race. You can't wear a normal GPS watch. And if you're caught cheating in any way, I mean, you're just not going to be allowed back in the race. Chris Brown asks, did you watch Guillaume on Ginger Runner? I wasn't able to make the show last night. I had my son last night and we were hanging out, so didn't catch that yet. Do you think he actually found a dog on the course or just hallucinating? I think he did find a dog. And I thought that was one of the funniest stories. Apparently he linked up with a dog that followed him for half a loop and like slept next to him when he was out on course lost. So I think it's hilarious. Let's see here. Ed Chowderheads, do you still love running? Yes, I do still love running after all this, surprisingly. Michael Husband, what happens to the maps after the race? I mean, I have my maps still. Everyone has them. Who ran the race. So I guess they're just out there, but the course can change. The course changes every year. So you don't know the course for next year. And you're not supposed to, you're not supposed to post those publicly. If you get caught posting them publicly, I mean, you're just never going to go back to the race. So it's, you know, it's a pretty good safeguard, I'd have to say. Cesar Contrati, would you speak to, about how we can register to Barkley Marathons 100? No. Yeah, I don't have any information on that. I'm sorry. If you really want to get in, I would say you'll find a way in. That's the best I can give you. Mike Estes, what is the biggest factor in your prep over the years that you think has kept you from becoming a Barkley finisher? I think my inconsistency in my training is a big factor. You know, I'll go periods where I'm running really strong, and then I'll have periods where I'm not running consistently at all. So I think that's my biggest goal in the next year, is to consistently run over the next year, you know, week to week, month to month, except for like recovery after races. Yeah, Jamie Dugan, if the course changes each year, how can your old video footage help? That's a great point. I mean, yeah, you might, I might have got a clip here and there of something, but yeah, if it changes, it's not going to be of much help for sure. How many calories do I eat on an average day? I don't track that. I don't know. so Peter Hogan, placenta? No. Polenta. It's a corn, some sort of corn grits, basically. John Wynn, do you think getting a sense of frozen head using Google Earth is cheating? I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, you can like buy the frozen head map and look at it. You can go to the park and do all of the maintained park trails as training. The things he asks you not to do is go off trail. Like, and I don't know. I don't know how much you can even see on Google Earth with like trees and stuff in the way. But studying maps, I think is, I think it's a good thing to do. So you get a sense of the lay of the land. Even with a map, it's hard to navigate out there. People are asking me questions about how Laz feels about things. I'm not sure. Like, how did Laz feel about the media? I don't know. I don't know how he felt about it overall. Mike Estes, how many snakes do you tend to run across out at Frozen Head? What other animals do you come across? You know, I have honestly not seen a whole lot of animals out there. I see a random squirrel here and there. I saw some deer one time, but I haven't seen a lot of animals out there. I don't know why. John Onate, just joined. How did you end up hooking up with Amelia out there? I found that whole group after I went for some shelter at the top where book three is. So they were coming up out of the fog when I was back searching for the book once the rain ended, and I found those guys. Let's see. Crispin Flower Day. What item of clothing did you have to take to Laz this year as your entry fee? So I did take him some socks, some white socks, and a certain brand, because that's what he's going to use on his transcontinental run. Another question about the crew, Chris Brown. Did you have a crew member this year? Yes, Mike Dobies was crewing for me, as well as Keith Dunn, who did a lot of the Twitter updates. Was there a ginger? Let's see. Oh, wow. Someone asked about, I think, the Ginger Runner show. There was a Patreon-only one last night that had, I think, a few of the Barkley participants on it. I didn't get to catch it yet. Gary Sutton, can you elaborate further on why GPS watches are forbidden on the course? I believe it's because, you know, they do want to keep parts of the course, unknown to people, and they don't want people to be, you can't train on these parts of the course. They're not areas that you can go off trail. It's part of their permit. They don't want people creating new trails and blazing the way. So they don't want the route to get out into the public. That's why GPS watches are forbidden. If we all, and I think also you could use it to help you navigate probably as well. So that's part of the challenge of this event, is that you do have to navigate and the course is unmarked. So that would defeat the purpose of both of those. John 08, Gary was very complimentary of your course knowledge of his race report. Very cool. I haven't had a chance to read that yet. I'll have to check that out. Have you ever used Tailwind as a main source of fuel or Hammer Perpetuum? Scott Flatlip. I have tried Tailwind. I tried it back in 2013 and it did not work out well for me personally. I think it has too much sodium for my body and for the way I train. So I don't use Tailwind. David Wolf, do you and Gary Robbins really own the Barkley now? How has that changed the race? So I think if you guys remember, I Run Far posted an article about me and Gary buying the race from Laz. You might want to check the date of that article because it was an April Fool's joke. So it's great that that still exists out there. Let's see here. Chris M., if the Barkley marathons are 60 hours of straight running, climbing, et cetera, why not run hike for 60 hours straight multiple weekends beforehand? I mean, that could be one strategy. I think doing a big day of like 24 hours, I think could be really helpful. But I don't know, that might take too much out of your system. I mean, a 60-hour effort is going to incapacitate you for probably a month. So I don't think you'd want to do that multiple times right before. Ed Chatterheads, do you think any of the really strong past finishers like Jerry Campbell or Brett Mooney could have handled the conditions this year? I just don't know. I mean, Jerry Campbell, maybe. That guy's unbelievable. He's finished this race in really, really poor conditions, like 2014. So you just don't know. Definitely possible. Andrew Simon, do you use any caffeine? Do you ever use caffeine while running ultras? I mean, I drink coffee normally. And I have used caffeine when I'm running ultras. I used some Voke tabs this year and some pre-race caps from First Endurance. I also had a bunch of other caffeine, like instant coffee and some energy drinks available in between the loops, but I ended up not using those just because I didn't really get far enough that I needed it. I was still pretty alert after 31 hours. But if we would have headed into that next night, I definitely would have needed it. Rosa Cleary, Jamil, how long did it take you to recover after the Easter egg challenge? When did you film that? We just put out on our other YouTube channel on Mountain Outpost this Easter egg hill climb where we ate a bunch of candy and climbed up a mountain a couple times. We filmed that a month ago. And honestly, we've been doing so many of those challenges, we recovered pretty quick from it, unfortunately. What has been your favorite Barkley experience from Josh Grant? The highlight of this year, I would say, was a couple things. Like loop one, running with Guillaume and Gary was really fun for me. I haven't really ever been in the lead pack on loop one before. So that was a pretty eye-opening experience to be running with those guys. They're super talented and strong. And I was able to nail book five. I was the first one to get to it. That was probably one of the highlights. It was the major change this year, and I was able to have almost a perfect navigation to the book. So that was a big highlight. The second highlight would probably be with that group of five of us going through the prison tunnel at 3:30 in the morning. An indescribable experience that you can't make that up, kind of a deal. It's pretty amazing. Question about booking your airline tickets. Do you book it based upon a fifth loop assumption? Yes, I do. I usually book my flight for like Tuesday afternoon or evening, which even with the latest possible start and a full 60 hours would still give me time to at least sleep, you know, 10 to 12 hours before hopping on a plane. So I have to give myself, you know, about a week for this event every year. I'm not going to have like the flight plan looming if I'm heading out on a loop five ever one year. So what course, Gil Taylor asks, what course direction do you like best? The direction that starts or the reverse? That's a great question. I think I probably prefer a clockwise loop. I don't know why. I feel like the climbs at the end of a reverse loop are a little more challenging. And I like to get those out of the way first, I guess. And maybe I've just done more loops that way. So let's see. Paul says, when you finish the Barkley, would you ever consider celebrating with a big juicy steak? I haven't thought that yet, but maybe I would change my mind if I get done on that. Let's see. Someone asked about if we visit Frozenhead, am I not allowed to take my family on a hike up Ratchaw? I don't believe you're allowed to, but I don't know. I think that's off limits normally. I would ask the park rangers when you get there and see if they're cool with it. You never know. You can get to the top of Ratchaw and look down on it. But I don't know if it's really a family hike either, unless your family is like super hardcore, briars and everything. Max Lindquist, I'm living in Tokyo. Do you have any recommendations for ultra races not too far away from here? I've never run in Japan before, but I know there's quite a few great races over there. Hiroki Ishikawa puts on some there. Was friends with him. I raced in Hong Kong, so I don't have a whole lot on that, but I know there's probably a lot of great events over there. John O'Nate, how would you rate the weather on Loop 2 to other years? It's the worst I've ever seen out there, and I've seen some pretty bad weather. I think it was the main reason that the race won this year, definitely. I mean, the navigation didn't slow any of us down on Loop 1. I mean, granted, no one got to the later loops, so that could have added a significant amount of time, you know, 15 minutes per lap maybe, where it could have been too much. Obviously, Gary, I have to read his race report, but, you know, he missed the Loop 3 cutoff, but he definitely... I think everyone got slowed down and was beat up from dealing with the weather. So John McMurray, could you leave a marker of some kind for the next loop? Is it against the rules? It is against the rules. People have tried to put flagging out there before. And yeah, you're not allowed to do that. You need to utilize your navigational skills. You can't be placing extra cairns or flags or anything out there. Let's see. John Paloma, any regrets for Barkley 18? Let's see. I don't know. I mean, maybe I think it was awesome leading that team of five, but I guess I do wonder what I could have done if I would have maybe gone ahead, you know, could I have started a Loop 3? No matter how much it would have hurt. But I want to just put it behind me at this point and focus on the next chance I'll get at it. And, I sure as heck am not carrying a camera next time I'm going. All focus from here. Let's see. Have you ever tried Run Gum, Monica D? Yep, I've tried it before. I did have a couple packets in the van, but I never got to use them. Randy Cafaro, was Laz the originator of the race? If so, once he no longer is involved, do you think it will continue? I think, yeah, he was the originator of the event, and I don't know. I just don't know beyond Laz if the race will continue or not. He's such an integral part of it, so who knows? Chris, do you feel like you were ready for this race this year? I was more ready than I feel like I was any other year, but I mean, ready for an absolute five loop finish? Probably not. I think I need to string together a few more months of training to really be ready for that. Dr. Cobweb, what is it about Jared Campbell that makes him so good at Barkley? I think he's got just a special set of skills that makes him really perfect for that race. And he likes to suffer, and he's got just a strong mind to deal with that pain that you get to. He's really fast, and he is good at finding his way in the woods. He spent a lot of time. He's done lots of adventurous type things, and that all comes together to make him, you know, one of a kind out there. Madison Schroeder, what other races are on your schedule this year? I kind of touched a little bit on this. I'm running a race in China, May 12th. the Ultra Dragon 65K, also doing the Tahoe 200. I'm debating doing Zangray 50, but that's coming up soon. So I don't know if I'll be ready for a 50 miler in like 4 weeks. Well, I just have to see. Have you ever done a transcontinental run? No, I have not. Would you ever consider running the Appalachian Trail? I have not highly considered it. I've done the Arizona Trail and had a great time, but I have not highly considered that. Robert Rice, when are you coming out with some new merch? How about a custom Patagonia Run Steep hat? We have some new shirts and things coming out probably in the next week. We placed an order. We've got some Run Steep Get High and some Run Flat Stay Low shirts and hats coming out. So stay tuned for that. Jim Solis, any plans of making a music video at Barkley like you did for Western? No plans, but someone actually asked me that out at the race this year, and I got a laugh out of that one. Sam Spinrad, are the course sections like Ratjaw official names recognized by the Frozen Head Park? No. A lot of the names are custom Barkley names, and they are just used, they're created by Laz and the runners. And a lot of times they're named after important people at the Barkley, which is cool. If you guys want to learn more about the history of the race, and way more information than I have available and that we have in our time right now, is Frozen Ed's book is a really good one. Tales from Out There. It's one of the first things that I got my hands on and just like really sunk my teeth into. And they give you a good sense of some of the loops and some of the names and stories of the past. And they're really awesome. Let's see here. How did you develop your navigational skills from Ariane Glazer? I grew up in the Boy Scouts. So we did, just going through the ranks in Boy Scouts, we had to learn orienteering and, just other outdoor skills. So I really developed mine growing up as a Boy Scout. And then merit badges and all that kind of stuff. And then as a leader, I was teaching that stuff. So I'm just spending a lot of time out there too. I think me race directing and planning and organizing events helps me as well, because I'm out there a lot of times trying to figure out if these trails exist, and I'm piecing together things myself, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm putting in maps, and I'm putting in courses. So I think all that experience together is really good. Kirsten Gebhardt, who's putting out all the books out there, and how long does it take them? Can't be Laz. Laz does put a lot of books out there. He also has a team of people that helps. They also have to go fetch the books after the race too. And there's different people that go and split up the course and do that. But I think they put them out there over the course of several weeks or months. I'm not entirely sure. And that's another reason too. They don't want people to know where these things are at, because they don't want them to find them, because they need them there for the race. Tony Woosland. Hey, Jam, not that any of the people follow you think this, but if you never finish this race, would you be completely satisfied with your running career? That's a tough one. This is number one on my list, most definitely. It would be pretty disappointing if I never did. But what can you do? I mean, you can try your best. I don't know. Andrew Simon, what advice would you provide for teenage runners like me, currently racing predominantly 5 and 10K at the distance, to advance along a path to run ultras to Barkley in the future? Great question. I would say what my path was, I looked at the resumes of the people who were contenders at the Barkley and finishers of the Barkley, and I figured, well, if I have a shot at doing well at the Barkley, I should probably have some of those things on my resume. So finishing really tough 100-mile races, doing a through hike or setting a speed record on a through hike, doing well at 100-mile races in the mountains, like things like that, I think are really good to do. Long adventure runs, I think, are good as well. But I would say, yeah, get yourself on a path where, yeah, if it's something you really want to do, you know, just start out running some ultras and then build your way up until you can run some really hard hundreds. And, you know, I've done a thru hike of the Arizona Trail. I've done Hard Rock a few times and I kind of did all that stuff. I did a big long trail in Vermont. I did a big run up there. I did this race in Vermont called the MMD More and More Difficult 50K, which a lot of Barkley people went to. And I think all that helped by the time I actually applied for the race. I first off met the people that do the Barkley and kind of showed them that I was for real. And then when I applied, I could show based upon my resume that, you know, I'm a legitimate contender here and I kind of deserve to be here. So Gil Taylor asked, how big of a crew are you allowed to take and how many was in yours? So they limited the crew to two people this year and I had two people. McKenna Barada, are you guaranteed an entrant for next year because you have already done the Barkley? I would say no, just because you have done it doesn't give you any guarantees and I don't assume any guarantee at all. I think if you show that you have potential for a five loop finish, that you have a better chance at getting back in. And I know that was true for me the last couple of years when I did three and four loops, but I don't know. I've had declining performances. So, I might end up on the wait list next year. Not really sure. Mindy K, how did the new gear work out for you? Pack and Briar Guard shorts. Overall pretty good. The shorts up top were probably not as long as I'd like. My knees are pretty scratched up on the front and backs. The pack was actually really great. It fit really snug, not too tight, and it held everything I needed to. So really happy. I mean, really happy overall with the gear. The Salomon jackets I had were super warm. I was able to survive the night. And I probably could have used maybe one more layer so I didn't have to get out of the rain for a while, but you know, that was pretty extreme weather. Scott Flatlip, if you were to create a similar race to the Barkley, where would you put this run? Maybe on the Mogollon Rim in Arizona. That's a pretty rugged, wild place. That would probably be the place I would do it. Tishus 80, as a race director, is there anything you've gleaned from the Barkley experience that you might use for your own events? I don't know. I mean, it's such a different type of race. It's hard to compare it. Really. I it's funny because the events I organize are polar opposites of the Barkley. You know, I love to have a really well-marked course and great aid stations and volunteer support and everything and, you know, cool finisher swag and the Barkley's opposite. There's no hand holding, there's nothing and you get nothing. And I mean, I personally dig that a lot. So, yeah, kind of different experience. Let's see. Ed Chatterheads, thank you for your donation of $2. Please do more live streams. Cool. I probably will do that. Elijah Parsons, could John Kelly do it again? I think so. I mean, if he wants to. I think that people who have finished the run have an automatic entry if they do apply. Aaron Siegler, does John Kelly's knowledge of East Tennessee give him an advantage? I think so. I think it helped him probably succeed quicker. Yeah, definitely. Versus people that have never been out there. I mean, he's been going out there since he was a kid. Eric Kinley, how long have you been a vegan and why? Can we have more cooking with Jam Jam like Dan Whitehead does? I've been vegan for maybe 7 years. Why? Well, I decided one day that we're just disconnected from kind of like eating animals, like the meat that we buy. It doesn't seem like an animal. I wanted to be connected with that process. So I just one day decided, you know, I'm not going to eat meat again unless I kill it myself. And I've yet to kill an animal for food. So if that changes, guess I'll let you guys know, but currently that's where I'm at. And I've had no ill health effects because of it. Thus far, I've been able to do everything I wanted to. So thanks for the question. Daniel Gibson, would you consider following back on Strava to get a more broad picture of the running community that follows you? So you're saying like following people back that follow me? Sure. I do follow some people, mostly, I guess it's my people in my local running community. I follow a lot of them that are part of my Air of Epic Group Trail Run. But if there's something specific in terms of a broad picture, I'd love to know more about that. I'd like to do more on Strava, maybe with the Run Steep Get High Strava group on there. I had a couple ideas floating around, but I think it would be really fun to do some more with that. John Zietko, Gary Robbins hasn't raced a race other than Barkley since January 2016. Do you think it's important to supplement Barkley training with an occasional race or train right through the season? That's a great question. I personally like doing some other races. I did four ultras this year so far leading up to Barkley, and I just had a fun time, which I think is important. And I'm going to be doing a lot of races later this year. I might even do more ultras this year than I ever have. I do think it is important to think about how that breaks up your Barkley training. I know that I'm a little worried with Tahoe 200 that hopefully that will be a positive benefit to Barkley training versus a detriment. You know, it's going to be, I guess it's still like 6 or 7 months out, but, I have put some thought into that to make sure that that, doesn't happen. Jesse Luna, can Barkley weather get to be so bad that it's unsafe? That's a great question. Laz, he did say before the race, you know, be safe out there. In 33 years, they've had 100% self-extraction, meaning everyone has walked out of the woods under their own power, or like found a car to drive them out. They haven't had to be mountain rescued out of that course. So I don't know that any weather would force him to cancel the race. I mean, if there's been all kinds of weather on that course before that people have gone through. There is some high water routes. So we crossed New River. If that was too high, there is a course sanctioned way to go around it now. So that's nice. Travel Runner says, Jamil, have you heard of the Mount Rinjani 100K in Indonesia? 30,000 feet of elevation, 36-hour time cutoff, only 5 finishers. I'll have to put that one on the list. Thank you. Might have to write that one down, actually, real quick. Was there a Barkley shirt? What did it say? It said, no help is coming. That was the motto this year. And it had a guy, like a skeleton, holding a book, or holding a license plate and holding the Barkley clicker. And I'll have to post a picture of it at some point. McKenna Barada, do you think the Plain 100 is a race that could prepare you for the Barkley? I haven't done that race. I know it's hard. I know that it was inspired by the Barkley. So I would say it probably would not hurt. And I would imagine if that's on your race resume, that would be helpful. Eric Keenly, how do you practice your navigation skills in preparation for race day, or you just wing it? I've been one to wing it a bit. I am going to change that for next year. I'm going to do some orienteering races, because I don't think it would hurt. And the other thing I did was I study my maps and my the course description and replay the race in my mind from the previous year to try and learn it better. Any desire to run Boston one day? I would like to. I had a chance to sign up this year, but I wanted to focus on Barkley. Rich Howeth, what should Laz change about the Barkley? I don't know. It's pretty damn hard right now. So I don't know if I would have him change too much until I get a finish under my belt. But then maybe, I mean, there's a lot of things he could do to make it a lot harder. But I guess there would have to be a mass finish for that to happen. So I got some ideas that I can talk to Laz about that at some point. Elijah Parsons, thank you so much. Says, I love you, JMJ. I'm your biggest fan. Thank you so much. Any tips for younger kind of high school runners? Just enjoy it. Don't rush into ultras too young, I would say. Just enjoy the process and know that, I mean, ultras will be there. This sport's not going to go anywhere. Trail running will be there. So just, you know, work hard, try and work on your speed when you're young. I don't know, watch what you're eating. I didn't eat very well in high school and my performance has suffered. I didn't train, I think, as hard as I could have in high school. I think it would have been more fun to do that a little bit more, but didn't have as much access to really cool content either at that age. So, yeah. Magadar 78. I thought Laz didn't want people to stay out past the cutoffs. Seemed like a lot finished loops this year past the cutoff. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, after my little foray a couple of years ago, he definitely asked people to come back if you're going to be over cutoff. I think several of us, like, we were out there, 3 hours, 4 hours, a few hours over cutoff for sure. We were still in the daylight and I don't know. We thought we might have been reprimanded about that. It seemed okay. I think if you're still in the daylight and the race is still going on, it's a little bit less frowned upon. But there's not hard and fast rules. But if we were going to be out there like 8, 9, 10 hours, that's definitely something that you don't want to happen. But sometimes it just happens. Like Guillaume, he literally just couldn't find his way back for 8 hours. I don't know what do you do about that? Sometimes you're out past cutoff because you don't have a choice. And that was true for Guillaume this year. Let's see. Trailer Solitaire. Filming in these race conditions isn't hard to keep focus or not? Yeah, it's definitely challenging. I've done it quite a bit, so I don't think it's as difficult for me, but definitely a lot. Do you think any finishers have used pharmacological help, amphetamines or anything to keep them awake? I don't know. Definitely caffeine. So I don't know if it's anything more than that, I'm not sure. Andrew Simon, will you consider running the Moab 240? I'm doing the Tahoe 200, so I'll start with that. And that appeals to me more than the Moab one for whatever reason. But maybe. Jacob Blaze, what's your favorite place to do your long training runs for Barkley? I need to find a better place. I mean, I like a lot of the mountains around where I live, but I need to find something steeper to do my long runs next year. Maybe the Mogollon Rim is what I'm thinking about up in northern Arizona. Randy Cafaro, I've been a race director in the past, and one of the main things I worry about is liability. Does Laz make you sign liability papers? Yeah, we have to sign like more than one waiver of liability. The event is sanctioned by USA Track and Field. So yes, just like any other one. Fires in 2001. Yep, there was fires on course. Excuse me. Let's see. Oh, we got a super chat donation from Angela Quinton. What sort of strength training do you do, if any? Free weights, machines, body weights? I'm a new fan, newbie trail runner. I'm stoked. Awesome. That's something, Angela, I was thinking about this year that I want to do for next year. I know Gary's been doing some strength training sessions, and I think that's one of my weaknesses is I would like to do some strength training. I don't know what that looks like yet. I'm open to ideas. I don't know if I'm going to use a trainer or if I'm just going to do it on my own. I really want to get back into doing some rowing. I have a rowing machine at my house. I just haven't used it very often, mostly because I didn't want to hurt myself. But now that I have time down, I want to include that and maybe just some body weight stuff. I don't know. Be open to ideas on that. But that's currently what I do. I don't do much currently, other than like lifting stuff around the office here. My go-to shoe for training, currently the Ultra Pro from Salomon. What stopped Gary from continuing? Bearhead 1231. He missed a cutoff. You have to be under 36 hours to continue on the loop 4. Scott Flatlip, have you suffered major injuries during the Barkley? Not major, other than Barkley toe, which is like a numbness in your toes that lasts for weeks. How long did it take you to build your running resume up to the point where you actually felt worthy of applying? That's from Eric Keenley. Honestly, it took me about 6 years to build up where I felt like I was ready to apply. Joe Grant, do you have crew pacers yet for Tahoe 200? I think Tim Tollefson, I'm going to shout him out, is going to be part of the team. I don't know that I have anyone else quite yet. So, but he lives up in the area and did say he was stoked for it. So, someone asked me about using the rowing machine. Yeah, I don't, not currently, but I really want to get back on it really bad. I'm definitely going to start rowing again. Doug Brandt, can we expect to see books attached to Cactus at any future Air Viper races? Probably not at this point, but you never know. Bearhead 1231, he didn't make the fourth lap cutoff. He did not make the cutoff for three laps to continue onto a fourth. So he completed three laps in 36:12, and he could not continue on a fourth because he was over 36 hours. Tishus 80, ever consider doing the Big Backyard Ultra? No, that race doesn't appeal to me personally. I would do a lot of other races before I would ever do that one. Elijah Parsons, I'm a vegetarian. What would you recommend for eating during training or just in general? Super excited to be getting your advice. I mean, just a variety of fruits and vegetables and beans and grains and all that kind of stuff. You know, try and eat a well-rounded diet and try and eat enough. You know, I try and eat whatever I desire and cooking yourself, learning to cook and make meals, I think is a really good way to do it as well. Andrew Simon, how would you recommend undergoing a transition from 10K to ultra distance? I would say that, you know, like upping your long runs, upping your weekly mileage is a good way to go, but doing it so gradually, most definitely over the course of a few months. So I know training for my first 50 miler, I was like running just 7 miles every day, like every single day. But I would mix in some easy days and then some longer runs as you build up. But you probably can do up to like a 20 mile long run and then jump up to like your first 50K. Sam Spinrad, what's your story behind your videos with Skylar? How long have you been running together? He joined our Aravipa group trail run here in Arizona. And we had an idea to do some fun videos that no one was really doing. And you can always count on Skylar to say yes to dumb stuff. And you can always count on me to say yes to dumb stuff. So it just kind of was a match that worked out well. Eric Mundorf, what's one thing you felt like you could have done better during training? Looking back on it, I think being more consistent in my training, not skipping several weeks or months would be really a good idea. And just steeper terrain. I need steeper terrain next time. Something where I have to use trekking poles. I joked. I didn't use trekking poles at all in training, and I used them the entire race. And I realized that I just need to run some steeper stuff. So, Craig Meyer, what would you recommend for getting elevation training while there's no elevation in Chicago, the Midwest? You have skyscrapers in Chicago, so I would recommend running up and down skyscrapers, like the stairwells. Also treadmills, like find ones that can go really steep grade or stair climbers probably. Let's see. What was your longest layoff of not running due to injury? I think probably 3 or 4 months. I had a foot neuroma one time. And I also, after my first 100 miler, I don't think I ran a step for 3 months. My feet were so jacked up. Christian Bjork, hi Jam Jam, just logged in, no question, just wanted to show my love along with everyone else. Thank you for being so humble down to earth. Thank you very much. Bearhead 1231, how are your long runs going to work for a 200 mile race? I don't fully have this formulated, and I don't know that anyone really does, but I'm thinking about possibly doing a 100 mile race in lead up to a 200, but doing it at an easy pace. I have had back-to-back 100 milers before where I have between 3 and 4 weeks between two different 100 mile races. And a couple times I've had the first race go poorly where I have to back off the pace and run it kind of easy. And then I nail the second race where I just, everything goes well. So I'm thinking that might be one strategy. I don't know. I don't want to overdo it, but I think maybe an easy one. Let's see. Josh Grant, living, working, training in AZ seems like Badwater would be right up your wheelhouse, but I think you said you have no desire to do it. I've crewed there and paced there before. It's super fun, but I just haven't gotten hit with the bug to do it. Probably having to do with being on road. Yeah. Jacob Blaze, are there other races that occur in Frozen Head? There is the Barkley Fall Classic that is put on by Laz and another guy in September, and that gives you a good loop of the whole course. So I don't know of other ones that are held there. Let's see. More questions on, have you read any of the books that you've had to find during the race? I haven't, no. I probably need to do that. I'd like to actually find a book this year to submit to be hidden next year. It would be really fun. Do you still have a relationship with Michael Arnstein, the Fruitarian? Saw who your brother crewed him at Badwater. Me and Mike converse a few times a year. I haven't kept up with him lately, but yeah, we're still friends. Aaron L., how much time per loop would you save with perfect navigation? It's more about how much time you can lose, and you can lose unlimited time with issues with your navigation. So, I don't know. I mean, we nailed loop one this year, and we came in, you know, 8.5 to 9 hours with basically perfect navigation. So if you mess it up, you can lose hours easily. A single mistake can cost you an hour. Scott Flatlip, how would you say this year's start was compared to other years you have run Barkley? It was a little more of a mellow start. There was 6 French that went off the front, but then I was leading the pack. So that's a rare thing. Usually there's a pack of guys that are running almost the whole way up Bird Mountain. So I was a little bit more mellow, but then it got intense later. Let's see. AJ Handy, I ran my first ultra last year at age 19. I'm running my first 50 miler this summer. What are your tips for longevity in the sport? I would say just sticking, especially at that young of an age. I started when I was 20 years old, and I definitely got injured a lot my first few years of running ultras. I probably did a little too much. I would say try and don't go beyond your training in races, and don't do too many races, and don't build up too quick. Give yourself time to recover. Give yourself breaks throughout the year. Don't put too much pressure on yourself to do anything in particular. And I think you can have some longevity. You know, I've been in this sport for about 13 years so far, and fortunately, you know, feel healthy right now and haven't had too many injuries in as of recent years. But I think I've run on average maybe 6 ultras per year. And then I always take a couple months where I'm not doing a whole lot every year. Zach Dort, are you going to continue as a slalom athlete through next year? I hope so. Currently it's through this year, but I would love to keep working with them. It's an awesome company and they've been really good to me so far. So I can imagine that it would be great to work together again. It's been really awesome working with Serge, which was one of their main designers in France. We've been conversing post-race a little bit, and I'm going to give him some more feedback on how the gear went this year. And it sounds like they're going to work on improving for next year. So it's really exciting. Doug Brandt, I was over at Lynn David Newton's place the other day, and I sent him the link of your Barkley video. He thought it was great, as did I. Thank you, Doug. That's awesome. Say hi to Lynn for me. Lynn is... he was at, I think, my first ultra ever. Great guy, part of the Across the Years organization back in the day, the webmaster and everything. Andrew Simon, how often would you recommend doing speed work during the base building phase? I think, is that counterintuitive? I'm not a running coach, but if you're base building, I don't think you're doing a whole lot of speed work. I guess maybe once a week if you're just base building, just to keep the turnover going. Probably not more than that. And if you're doing a speed phase, then I think maybe you would do it maybe twice a week then, but what do I know? Nicholas Zawarik, I'm a junior in high school with a personal best of 16:43 in the 5K. I'm starting to get bored and losing motivation. I don't know, like, why are you getting bored, I guess? Like, are you wanting to go longer in distance? Are you still excited about improving your time? Need some more information. Let's see. Jamie Duggan, if Laz had a cigarette an hour before the race, then blew the conch at the start, that would be a cool twist for next year. Any thoughts on coming to an event in New Zealand? I'd love to do Tarawera one year. I don't know of many other races there, so that would be super cool to do one year. Let's see. Ryan Hunt, what would you tell your first time 100 miles self if you could go back in time? Don't go cliff jumping the weekend before because I screwed up my knee, I guess. Robert Comstock, how do you deal with the heat in Arizona when running? You try and train your body as it's getting hotter. So getting out there when it's turning 90, 95, 100, adapting to it, but also carrying a lot of water with you is super important if you're going to train in the heat of the day. Otherwise, try and run in the early parts or the end of the day. But you got to train your body to handle those temperatures or it's going to be dangerous. And you got to have a lot of water, not only to drink, but over your head. Liam Williams, did playing Fortnite interfere with your training? I haven't gotten on the Fortnite bandwagon, so I'm not entirely sure that that affected anything. Let's see. Bearhead 1231, how hard is it to navigate the loop backwards? It can be more challenging for a lot of people because it's coming at it from the opposite way. So there's definitely some parts of the reverse loop that are harder for me. But you know, the race is changing. It used to be two loops forward, two reverse. Now it's just random every year. So Cole Alpog, does your taper period ever worry you? Meaning, do you ever panic that you've lost rather than gained fitness? Absolutely. Tapering can be some of the most stressful time. You feel like your training can be going so well and you have everything perfect and you're like nothing hurts. There's no pain. And then you start tapering and all of a sudden you have all these issues popping up and you can feel like you're out of shape, but it's usually just all in your head. I saw your training in Gary's for Barkley this year from Connor Jackson, and it was all the vert y'all were getting, and most I can hit is 300 feet per mile in Kentucky. Advice for Barkley: stairs, steep treadmills, maybe speed work, I think can be a possible thing. I don't know. That's talk to John Kelly, because I think he trained in like Washington, D.C. area for Barkley, and he actually finished, so... Mike Pence asks, run steep OG designs in next week's shipment. Yes, we did do a big shipment of new merchandise that's going to be the original logo and everything. So we're going to put that stuff back in stock, definitely. Plans for running Diagonal Defu, Jesse Luna. One of these years, it's hard because it's 1 week before the Javelin 100. And traveling that far across the world is challenging. So one of these years, I'm going to make it happen. Let's see. Definitely come to New Zealand. We have some awesome mountain races. Awesome. I will hopefully do that at some point. Ed Chatterheads, what are your long-term running goals other than Barkley? That is honestly the main one. Everything else is kind of icing on the cake. I would like to take a stab at the FKT on the Arizona Trail. That's kind of been coming around in my mind a little bit more. So, Nate DeFrusney, did you vlog any of the trip and prep? You know, pretty much what you saw in the video I put out is pretty much all I did. I wanted to just focus on the race and put aside the camera a little bit more. So, I didn't do any other filming really, couple things here and there. Philip Espinosa, do you think a 70-hour cutoff would yield more finishers? I'm sure it would. I mean, that would give you quite a bit more time. That would definitely give more finishers. Randy Cafaro, has Dodge Ram said anything about your logo? Like on your hat? It's just like the one on my van. It's not exactly the same, okay? They have not contacted me. Jamie Dugan, iPad battery at 36%. Screw it. I will run this sucker flat if necessary. John Zico, if you could choose any start time for the Barkley, what time would you choose? Probably, I mean, this year wasn't bad, but I mean, right, it's a sunrise start would be kind of perfect because you have a whole loop in the day and then you can get really far on a second loop at night. So if you could choose any start time for a Barkley, what would you choose? Oh, does Versteeg really drink that much or is an act? I think he does drink that much. Stealing. I don't know if it's really stealing Michael's FKT, but I mean, I'll try, but it's pretty stout. So I'm not really entirely sure about that. I think pretty soon I'm going to wrap this up, guys. Thank you so much. I've been blabbering on for about 90 minutes. I'll take a couple more questions and then we'll call it a day for now. Ari Sanchez, what would be your advice for random people that want to apply? What does Laz consider? How many applications does it take? You know, I don't know the answers to any of those questions. What I did was I looked to see what people who had done well at the race, what their resumes were. And I tried to do some things that would put me in that category. And over time, over the course of some years, I built up some things that I felt like would fit that bill. And in doing so, I met a lot of people that did the race and kind of go from there. What software am I using to edit videos? I use Adobe Premiere CC. Let's see here. What do you think you throw down in a track 10K? I don't know, 30 something. anyways, guys, I think I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really appreciate the support. This channel it's an amazing community of people. We'll probably do some more of these live streams just because it's great hearing from a lot of you guys. I love the banter in the chat room, and it's really awesome. So. Gil Taylor, I'll take one more question. Does Laz still admit one runner who doesn't have a chance of finishing? The sacrificial virgin. Yes. And he gives them bib number one, which is pretty funny. All right, guys, have a great night. Thanks for tuning in and, subscribe if you haven't. We're so close to 25,000. Really awesome to see that. And, yeah, I guess we'll probably close up the Barkley chapter here for this year pretty soon on this one. I don't want to beat it to death. So be well, everyone, and I'll see you guys later.